I have a 401 to protect. My cell phone area code. So stupid.
You may be the word on the street, but I'm the talk of the town.
Oh, wow. It's a classic. Now, I do have to say the one thing that I always tell guest hosts is hold the mic to your mouth, pretend it's a dick.
Okay.
Perfect.
I've practiced.
They're very sensitive mics, guest co-host.
We like a sensitive mic.
We like a sensitive mic. We like a sensitive conversation. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. I'm so excited not only to have back one of my favorite guest co-hosts, but also someone who has been to the Clawfest before.
Yep, I've been here before. I've been on the pod. This is my fourth time on the pod.
Oh, you're almost back. At SNL 5.
Listen,
very excited.
Where's my jacket?
It'll be Luann's. It'll be like,
where's my Giovanni jacket?
It will be Feelin' AG on the back of it. Absolutely bedazzled that I will 100% sell for $9 million. Just like Lou. Listen, there's nothing I love more, and it is a rare commodity in these dark days of Zoom. Nothing I love more than recording in person. So I'm so excited to have back someone I love to talk all things Housewives with and so much more. You know him as host of the podcast We Should Talk. Welcome back to the People's Clawfest, Kiki Couch, Gibson John.
Thank you for having me back. You're right. And being in person is so rare these days.
Yes.
I record all my interviews over Zoom now, and there's something
depressing.
Missing. I know. I don't know if we'll ever go back to fully everything being in person, but this is special.
See, it used to be pre-COVID that if you were not available to record in person,
it wasn't going to happen.
We were not going to record. We did not. I mean, I think most people did not know of Zoom.
I had never heard of Zoom before.
So I remember it was like the first week when COVID got really bad. I was supposed to record with Sweet Baby Dylan Hafer. And I think it was like we started to realize that something was going terribly wrong. We're like, maybe we should meet up in person. And then just I think there was an adjustment made for a lot of people who are content creators, specifically podcasts. But it does make these moments when we can see each other IRL so sweet.
That much better. We're just staring into each other's eyes right now.
I'm so into this. I have to tell you. So listen, you dropped a little nugget when you got here to the Clough.
What was that nugget?
That you recorded with a certain housewife.
Yes. We have Dr. Nicole Martin on We Should Talk next week for the Miami premiere day.
Miami premiering next week?
In 1 week from today. This is the 1st of December. Comes back on the 8th. I watched the first three episodes to prepare.
You watched the first three?
And the first four coming out on premiere day, so.
Wait a second. No. Okay.
Yes.
Wait. No. I don't know. How do we feel about that? Do we feel diluting the brand?
I don't like when they drop four at a time, but apparently there's 16 episodes in the season, so.
Okay, so that's fine.
I think we'll be fine. And baby girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a second. So you watched the first three.
I watched the first three in the past 24 hours. We're getting four. The fourth is not available yet for press.
Do you think that's going to be a divorce? Is that why it wasn't available?
I forgot. I'm trying to remember if there's an embargo on any of this. I think they tease a lot throughout the first three. Like there's flash forward, flashbacks. There's a shadow over it. Like it's like we're kind of counting down the days until we're getting the moment.
If you guys saw my face right now.
And there are so many hints. There are like so many hints. And her, it just.
Does he record? Is he doing any more of those super awkward confessionals that were so, so awkward?
I have not seen a confessional from Lenny, but. Or like L Star Knee. I don't want to say his name. But.
Who?
I'm saying L up, like, you know, when you do the asterisk. I don't want to say his name, enemy number one, but no, he is in a lot of scenes and they like, it's kind of it's one of those things where, you know, when they like, they're teasing what's coming and it's like, they sort of linger on it. They linger on him, like his reaction faces to what she says. And they like include things that wouldn't normally have probably included, but it's like telling like condescension and like the way he treats her. And he definitely. There's like a moment where the camera sort of like peers around the corner. Miami for me is my favorite franchise right now.
Is it?
Yeah. I guess it's not on right now, but.
No, but you in the universe. Yeah, it exists in the universe.
Potomac, I love, and it has been my favorite the past couple years. But the way that Miami's hitting, it has been hitting for the past year and a half for me, like since its return.
You guys are screaming.
I just feel like it's hitting new age housewives, old school housewives. They're rich AF.
We don't spend enough talking about how rich they are.
They've had two seasons now of scandal, like of huge big moments, but like it feels also grounded in reality. It's not like somebody committed a crime. It's like,
thank God,
there's divorce and there's death. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I love it.
Wait, okay. I have so many questions.
This is Lisa's year.
You are blowing my mind because I 100% forgot that Miami is coming.
Well, because it's on Peacock, so you kind of, it's kind of right. Like, not, and I don't think it should be on Peacock, but you know, I'll take it wherever I can get it. But
do you think that it will ever, that they will get maybe better about showing episodes on Bravo during the Peacock season?
It's hard because I feel like the whole point is them to get people to sign up for Peacock. And if people know, they can just wait 1 week to see it on Bravo. I don't know. Like, I don't know how that stuff works, but I love Peacock. I love watching my shows on Peacock now.
I honestly have to say it's one of the better investments. And it's, mm-hmm. I think it's like $4.99.
It's really cheap.
It's not
as bad
as other streaming services.
Yeah.
But you have, there's so much content. And honestly, like randomly, I was like, you know what? I feel like some recent Jersey reunions are on the docket for tonight. And just, it's nice to have everything together. And it's nice that they fucking finally have it set up where you don't have to have cable. Because I stopped getting cable. It was not worth it.
It seems like they've like stopped working on the Bravo app because the Bravo app is so good.
Oh my God,
I haven't
been forever.
Yeah, but I mean, it's available the next morning when very dependably. I've been binging Married to Medicine from the beginning for the past like 2 years on like Peacock. It's like very reliable. I love it. I'm a Peacock stan.
Wait, Gibson, I literally can't get over the fact that you watched the first three
episodes.
I feel
guilty about being privileged.
Wait a second. So what was your experience like with Dr. Nicole? Was it in person?
No, it was over Zoom.
Okay,
she's
makes
in
sense.
Miami.
She's in Miami.
She was not at her new $44 million house because I think
it's 44.
I'm pretty sure.
I know she sold hers for like
20. Sorry. I think that maybe her old house sold for like something major and then her new one's 22. Sorry. I think the old one maybe
was 28 even.
Whatever. I'm just, it's fake.
Whatever.
News, it's a lot of fucking money.
I mean, it's Monopoly money.
She's like renovating that new house, I guess. But she was great. What I guess I hadn't really thought about before I was prepping for that interview was like on Miami, when it came back after 10 mm-hmm. years, mm-hmm. They brought a lot of OGs back. They also added a lot of new people and it created this dynamic of like, you know, the OGs kind of expected the newbies to be a little bit deferential to them and bow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm talking to Nicole and she's like, yeah, like, I mean, like the three people I'm feuding with are like Larsa, Marisol and Alexia, who are all these OGs who expect me to like lay down at their feet. And
wow.
It's like, well, like I'm on this fucking show now. I'm in my second season. Like, why do I have to bow down to you? It sort of reminds me of like a little bit of like Jersey where it's like some of them are sort of expected to be deferential to Teresa and like kind of, but it's like, and I guess like Margaret and then when they joined it, like whenever that season was, it was sort of this moment. And it's like at a certain point, it's like, why am I treating you any differently? Like this is my show just as much as it's your show. I love the OGs of Miami. I'm not shitting on them. But from her perspective, it's sort of like, I'm on this show too. You know what I mean? And I think she's sort of taking ownership of that and like running with it. I think that she's great. I think she has a lot of potential. I think it's kind of a little bit weird that she got engaged like between the seasons
after not being engaged for so long
and talking about how she didn't want to get married. But I mean, I think we'll get a little bit of that this season, but I like her. I really like her.
She is a superstar.
Yeah, I think
she's
so too.
A breakout.
And she's really popular. If you troll the hashtag of the Miami hashtag on Twitter, like people love her and rightfully so, but it's just interesting. Like people really are behind her.
Well, the thing is, she's a doctor. Mm-hmm. She's so fucking hot. Yeah. She is sexy.
Yeah. Her relationship is like,
she's
a fun relationship. She's a chic house. Like,
she gives us vulnerable moments and stuff with, I think her dad was it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. There's a lot more of that this season,
oh,
I think.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She's good. She's really good, I think.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It made me so excited. You know, I actually have a question for you as a fellow podcaster. You mentioned prepping for your interview. What's mm-hmm. your preparation process like when you're talking to specifically with a Bravo-Leba housewife?
Obviously, just make sure I'm caught up on the shows. Like,
yeah, of course.
I like to watch the most recent episode of whatever show that is, like pretty close, like within the day or two of the recording, just so it's really fresh. I go on Google and I see whatever like headlines they've made recently, because like usually these people are doing rounds of press, so I'm sort of like, what's the most recent thing they've been saying? So I don't like to like rehash what they've already talked about. So like even sometimes if it's kind of like a hot topic with them, if like they've already made 10 headlines about it in the past 2 weeks saying something about XYZ, like I don't really need to go down that road. Like they're gonna have the same talking points about those things. So I'm like, let me go in a different direction a little bit. And then I take notes on the different topics that I really want to address with them, and then I organize them in a way where the conversation can flow really nicely between those things, or into those things, and then like so that if we get sidetracked, I can sort of get it back on track and like go to the next thing. And I don't like to get into like the really like things that I want good answers on, which is like the drama with the other women, mm-hmm. or the, like where you really want the tea. Like I put that later in like the roadmap of the interview because I want them to feel comfortable with me first. Yeah. So I'll have the first 5 minutes of an interview be not, it's never boring, I don't think, but it's not as like, you know, juicy, because like I want them to feel comfortable and talk about things they want to talk about. And then I'll go into the more, you know, fiery things. Intense. Yeah.
I always think of it as a little bit of a shit sandwich where mm-hmm. it's like first super sweet, like friendly, open. So you Definitely. Know the vibe, you know yep. the energy, you know this isn't like a gotcha thing. Then maybe we'll like, you know, go into some deep yada yada mm-hmm. and then we'll go back to something else that makes that feels comfortable with what they've been talking totally, about elsewhere. Totally.
And then sometimes like if I have less time with them or something, or if
that's tough. That's really tough.
Or if it's somebody who like I kind of know random things about them. So like, for example, like today's episode of my podcast was an interview with Kiki Palmer, and like, I've loved her like for
forever,
2 decades, but I just like, I know random things about her music career and like things like that. So if it's like that and I have less time potentially, I like to disarm them at the top of the interview with like a kind of a random thing. So with Kiki, I opened with like a lyric reference to her song Bottoms Up from 15 years ago.
Oh my God.
And right away she started like laughing and she's like, okay, I like this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then from there, she's already comfortable with me because I want to cut to the chase.
I also feel like there's a difference between podcast episodes where we're talking about housewives versus speaking with housewives, which kind of changes the air in the room, but not necessarily in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of how I think about like the space that I occupy. It's kind of, it's a little bit of a tough space because I live tweet so many episodes and I want to share my opinion on things, but at the same time, I talk to a lot of them for work and I talk to a lot of them in interview settings. So it's like, I have to be careful. I definitely choose my words carefully when mm-hmm. I'm posting about things online. I'm not as like freewheeling with it as some people are and can be. And I totally respect people who are like that. And mm-hmm. I kind of sometimes I wish I could be more like that. But ultimately, I want to commentate on it, but also be fair, and then also be able to sign on to a Zoom interview with Dr. Nicole and know that I haven't said something that like, she'll be coming from a place of like, I don't want to talk to this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only time that I really kind of like don't think about that is when I think somebody's crossed a line. Like now with Jen Shaw, I'm like, I'll say whatever the fuck I want about her online because like she scammed out old people and she's probably gonna go to jail for 10 years. Like I don't care. You know, and Rinna, I really don't care at this point. Like I think she's crossed a line. So like there's certain people where I don't really care, but most of the time it's a thing that it's very top of mind for me that I have to kind of straddle two different spaces.
I'm looking at you with little hearts in my eyes because I think that's such a good point, but it's also, it's like the business of it takes over too when there's a stewardship of relationships, but also people want to hear your opinion.
Yeah. And I think that if it's always informed or coming from like a place of like, okay, I've thought about this.
Mm.
And I'm coming from a place of like, I know what I'm talking about, but mm-hmm. also I am being fair. You know, that it also comes with the territory for them. So like they know that like people like I'm like somebody like me has to also share my thoughts on things. And I do that. But so at a certain point, if they might see it, like, for example, actually, this is actually a funny little moment from BravoCon. So I've known the Potomac women since their first season because Potomac premiered when I basically started doing this kind of thing for work.
Yeah.
And so I've sort of been in their corner and so I did a phoner with like Giselle, Ashley and like Charisse, like before the show ever premiered. So like they know that I've been supporting them for a while. And so like we I have a good relationship with them, but I also tweet a lot about that show but I interview most of them every season. And I interviewed Giselle before this season started. Love Giselle. I especially, off the show, have a good relationship with her. And the first episode, when she cuts straight over to Mia and asks her about the cancer post, and she's like, "Let's get a pop in." Like she knows what she's doing.
She's showing up for work.
I tweeted something along those lines. I forget exactly what the wording was. And so it cut to like 2 weeks later at BravoCon. The Potomac women are on the red carpet in the press room, and I'm in the press room doing my Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo video. I wasn't really doing interviews in the press room. I was just doing a compilation of people saying that. Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo.
Iconic.
Help. and I was getting a slightly weird vibe from Giselle, and I was like, huh, did I tweet something about it?
Oh my God.
And I was like, no, I really haven't. I really haven't. Like, I knew that I hadn't like criticized her. Like, had been like two episodes.
Okay.
She gets to me, and she's in the next. She's talking to the person next to me, and like I'm next, and I was. She sort of like looked at me in the corner of my eye, and I was like, "What's going on here?" I was like, "What do they do?" Then she gets to me, and she's like, "Gibson, I have to ask you about something." I was like, "Oh God, what the fuck was it?" You tweeted something. I'm like, "Oh God, what the fuck was it?" And she's like, "You tweeted about me coming over to Mia and talking about the cancer thing." And I was like, "Giselle," I cut her off. I was like, "Giselle, I was praising you. I was praising how you know how to keep this show moving forward." I think that she wasn't sure about the tone of the tweet, whether I was implying that she was like being messy and like kind of like a biatch. But like, I was like, no, like I meant that in a way that like, you're good for the show. It's the first episode and you're bringing up the cancer post, like asking her straight up if she has cancer. Like, I was like, I was praising you. And she was like, all right, I got it. But like, it's one of those things where like, they actually are looking. Giselle never tweets. Giselle doesn't tweet.
But she's looking.
And it was honestly a lesson for me.
Well, you know, I think that there's something to be said for the ways that the housewives sometimes perform a desensitivity to how they are discussed by content creators and by the greater audience on social. That isn't necessarily the case, which is why it's so interesting that Giselle would respond that way. But maybe she was also thinking ahead, knowing what was to come and kind of trying to get a sense of the temperature in the room, because you would think she would be aware, I'm sure she was, that things would be a little tough for
her
online.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought back to that moment until just now. And now with the context of later in the season, I see that for sure. I think you're right.
But also, you think of the way that like Rinna responded during BravoCon to being booed and pretending that she was okay with it. And it's a riot and it's a part of the show and she's a WWE like wrestler or whatever, versus how I think we all know she actually felt about it and felt about the overall audience response, which is not desensitized. In fact, it's like extremely activated.
Yeah. I mean, she was there to keep her job. So I don't think I think she did feel some sort of way about that. It is interesting to think about like who's actually looking at the commentary and who's not. I think most of them probably are.
Right.
Or they have somebody who is and who's showing them things, but I don't know. I mean,
do you think that impacts their behavior on forthcoming seasons?
Yeah, I do. And I think the best housewives don't let it really impact it. Unless it's like somebody like Giselle, probably. She's probably looking at the reaction to what's happening on this season.
Yeah.
And she's smart and savvy enough to know that she's going to have to pull back at some point.
Mm. Pull back in what way?
I mean, or maybe like reflect on how she's treating people and how maybe she is... I think that the common praise for Giselle, I think, is that she kind of plays the producer in the cast role pretty well in terms of like, again, moving it forward and thinking about, okay, we're making a show here. But I think, you know, it's pretty clear that like she's kind like the way that they're treating Wendy is not really okay. And they've ostracized her in a way that's not, it's creating for uncomfortable TV in a way that's turning the audience against her. Giselle.
Yeah.
Giselle and Robin. And I think that that's not something she wants. She knows that she has to have some people in her corner. And I think she's lost some people with her behavior in this recent couple episodes. So I think that in the future, if she's really as savvy as I think and know she is, she'll change that behavior, hopefully. Like on the reunion, hopefully she comes in a little bit with her tail between her legs and apologizes.
Do you think though, in the case of Giselle and you know, by that measure, Giselle and Robin, do you think that it's people who were fans of theirs who are like, this is too much and maybe I'm no longer as much of a fan? Or do you think it's people who didn't like them before who've just kind of deepened their dislike?
That's a good question. I think there's probably a bit of both.
Yeah, that's true.
I think a lot of people who were not behind Wendy before have gotten behind her in a new way in the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that.
I'm kind of like that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I've always sort of been on...
I didn't like her. Her last season was like not great.
I actually didn't mind her last season. I thought that she had a pretty... I didn't think she had a great start to this season.
Yeah.
And I think that this is really turning it around for her.
Yeah.
But... I do think that some people have probably soured on Giselle more than they would have expected to.
God, it's tough.
It's hard. And I think that the association with Robbins also makes it harder because Robbins going a little bit harder.
Yeah.
A lot harder, I would say. And like she's kind of doubling down on it. And so that association can be tough too, I think. Especially like they have a podcast together. Like it's like they have a name for their friendship. So it's like that when the other person in that second half kind of goes off the rails even more than you are, that's also interesting to watch and see how they handle that, I think.
I was really interested. You know, I got a message from an AG who's on Twitter, I'm not, who said, you know, it's great that essentially you're not on Twitter because it's gotten so divisive about Potomac,
yeah.
Which honestly, as someone who's not on Twitter, I truly found surprising because I thought that like most people were like, not into the Giselle and Robin treatment, but I didn't realize, which is helpful for me to know how many people feel differently who feel
are
like they're
them.
On. Yeah, which I honestly was surprised
by. I mean,
by.
Yeah, I haven't really tweeted as much about Potomac this season because
it's of that. So divisive.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like at a certain point, like you're not allowed to, you're either on one side or the other, according
yeah.
to people on Twitter sometimes. And like if I'm going to tweet something pretty benign about something that's going on in Potomac and I'm going to be accused of like taking his it's BS. Like, why am I going to subject myself to that? So I've kind of pulled back on the Potomac commentary this season for that reason. I'm still watching every episode pretty much live, but like, I'm not into that, but it's gotten pretty nasty on there. And people just say really, I mean, people are saying like really bad things about Robin and I understand that her behavior has been not
people
great,
go too far.
But like they're talking. Yeah. They go too far with it. So I'm just not interested in engaging in that.
How is the cast doing? Because that has been, you know, a thing that has been discussed on the reunion, obviously, with Candace, which Candace talked about during her panel at BravoCon when she did a fucking... Listen, Candace and I have had our shit, like, personal whatever, but I'm really genuinely rooting for her. She did a fantastic job at BravoCon. She also looked like a pop star, which I was extremely into.
That little pink look, come on now.
The round sunglasses yep. that she wore inside, I was like extremely here for it.
Was deserved.
It was very, like, she looked the part. Mm-hmm. Her, you know, watching her in the audience at Watch What Happens perform, I was like cheering for her like everybody else. But, you know, she talked a little bit about the ways that she's adjusted how she communicates about the show
mm-hmm.
on social media and how she uses social media in general, like the ways that it was for her, not to put words in her mouth, but I don't remember the direct quotes, like the ways that it was a way for her to take back control of the narrative and express frustration in her own time, and her ability now to like maybe tweet something but then immediately delete it or like save it to drafts or whatever it is mm-hmm. so that she feels like she's still getting it out. It is that thing that my psychiatrist recommends that a lot of people do in therapeutic work of like journaling, writing things out so it can get out of your body because
totally.
So much of that energy is toxic. And I wonder, because you are online, if you've seen a difference. And I say that noting that like I have seen some stuff she said about Giselle this
yeah.
season, but like, have you noticed a difference in how the cast interacts?
They definitely have lightened. I mean, I think that they've
lightened the
activity. No, I think
okay.
they've lightened
oh,
the activity.
Oh,
like,
okay,
I,
got
like
it.
I think that Wendy's definitely feeling the love recently, and
oh,
you can
really?
Tell that
okay.
she's reposting a lot and retweeting.
Wow.
Like, she's definitely like soaking up the support that she's getting. I think Robin has never really been engaged on Twitter. Giselle doesn't really tweet. She clearly kind of looks at Twitter, or she has somebody who looks at Twitter
she's
for her.
She's observing it. She's analyzing it. She's
Candace, I've definitely noticed a slight change in how she
okay.
tweets. I don't think it's as like reckless as it used to be.
Yeah.
And but she still she can go in for sure. And I think that of everybody on that cast, Candace is like by far and away the most active and present on Twitter. Mia deleted her Twitter, I think, recently.
Yeah, after that really dumb fucking apology.
Yeah, that was crazy. That, I mean, she's beyond. I don't know if anybody read that before she posted it.
Well, we got some screenshots. Right, exactly. No,
I'm saying like before she posted it, did anybody else read that over for her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, God, so. My guess is that her team is probably
what's
not
the
at the level.
There? Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, I see an interesting, I mean, a difference in. I also do the same thing now on Twitter. It's like you have to get that in the draft, or you have to post it and then delete it right away. And it's like, I don't care if somebody screenshot whatever, but like, it's just about, it is about getting the thought out there and getting that out of your body. But yeah, it's just, I mean, Twitter at the wild west right now. And I've pulled back a little bit, but it's also, I love it.
It's been hard for me because I think I use Instagram stories the way other people use Twitter.
Too. Yeah.
And I am reactive and I do have a hot Italian temper. And so there are times where I, like recently I posted something and I was like, do I want to post this? And I posted it and I noticed immediately that there was a grammatical error and I deleted it intending to like repost.
Did you repost it?
Didn't. Because I was like, I think it's similar to what Candace had said during the panel. Like it was like Jesus coming through me or something, the way that she immediately deletes. And I was like, this is God.
Usually these days, if I'm thinking, should I post this or should I not, I just don't post it.
Because that's the right thing.
And it's not even about being problematic or whatnot. It's like, do I want to post this and then be subjected to like what people I know are going to respond to it? You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I'm like.
It's not even, it doesn't even need to be controversial. It could just like be pretty something low hanging fruit.
Yeah, or a thing that like might be deemed controversial but shouldn't be. But then it's like, is my voice needed in this conversation? Is it enough for me to just like think the thought without responding?
And that's a valuable tool to have that I don't think I had more than 2 years ago. Like thinking about, is my voice needed in this conversation? Like I definitely try to think about that. But even like today, like literally somebody tweeted some old clip of Heather and Carol. I was like, oh, I missed their like silly, goofy asses. And I quoted and I was like, you know what? I kind of wish that Heather had not come back on the most recent season of New York and had actually just waited until Legacy, because I think it maybe would have worked out better.
100%.
In the replies, you guys really like Heather, huh? Like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I was just hyped. Like I was thinking out loud. You know what I mean? It's like such low hanging fruit about Heather Thompson when she comes back to the show. Like chill the fuck out.
But it does also raise the point of how contentious the community can be. And it can be exhausting. But then I just think about like the moments on Potomac and the ways that these women participate sometimes in that toxicity or further the divide, but also honestly, when you think about it, have the right to. It's their story, for sure. Being edited, being positioned. And if they feel like someone is getting it wrong, and by someone, I mean like hundreds of thousands of people, then you can either add in an extra jab that was taken out or one that you thought of since being filmed or talking, you know, responding to a confessional you hadn't seen or a conversation you weren't present for in a way that I think it would be very tough if I was in that position to turn down the ability to take back control in that way.
I agree with you. And that's why it's kind of unfortunate or very unfortunate that like sometimes the Twitter conversation can get so nasty so quickly.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, I agree. Like why, like Robin should be able to tweet like put out a statement on Twitter, like maybe just not pay attention to how people reply to it. But like if she wants to say something about that episode, like I love the extra Twitter commentary from the women on the shows. Oh my God.
It's like an after show.
Yeah.
It is like
and I live for when they would get kind of in the mud with each other on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like it's usually pretty low stakes. You know what I mean? Like Miami actually did a lot last season. It's all like pretty like light, but like, I don't know, like that adds to it. But as long as it's not like an unsafe space for some of them to be in. Like, and I think honestly with Potomac right now, that's like kind of the vibe. It's like not, I'm glad they're not subjecting themselves to that.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. It delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Living in New York City is not easy. Just ask Sonia trying to sell that house.
there are so many mornings where I wake up and think, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst cold of my life. And I realize it's actually from allergies. When my nasal allergies flare up, and that happens when the season changes and the temps get a little warmer than they normally are, I use Astepro, and I'm amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. And that game is looking for Dorinda on the Upper East Side. Astepro always has my back and nose. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. I don't know why I still continue to be a little confused as to the counter, I think, on this, like the idea that like Mia wasn't in the wrong. Like, what are your thoughts on all of the Miami Michigas that's taken place so far?
You mean from the viewers?
From your perspective, like the idea, just kind of watching the way that Mia was trying to market herself as like the host, capital T, capital H.
I mean, I watched that scene and I was like, I thought objectively Wendy was the victim in that scenario.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she was kind of set up to be the victim, honestly. Like, in so many ways. Like, why was she? Why was she supposed to contact Patricia before she came to his restaurant? Patricia. And she didn't even know she was coming to the restaurant until like 2 hours before. Why? Like, Mia was the one that got physical through a drink out of nowhere. Of course, if I'm Wendy, I'm going to react to that. And I'm going to defend myself, and the words can cut deep, but they're just words. You know, like in comparison to throwing a drink, or didn't she like slam her purse at her or something? I don't know, whatever that was. I couldn't tell what that was.
I couldn't tell.
And then like adding to like sort of the tension in the air with like Robin filming on her phone, which I thought honestly Robin filming on her phone was like really, I did not like that at all. I thought that was really, she was like having glee and watching it, and I did not like that at all.
It felt like she was honestly trying to provoke Wendy by doing that,
while yelling at her that she was being antagonistic. And it's like, it takes one to know one. Like, what's going on here? Like, it was bizarre. It was really, I thought that I was sort of being like, I don't know. I was like watching something different than they were watching almost. Cause I was like, they just don't like Wendy that much. And that's that, it just got to a point where I'm like, okay, but we're just being kind of like irrational here. Mia is the one that's is the one that was hurt more in that situation.
How do you think the night would have changed if Candace had been there?
That's a really good question. I don't think it would have gotten to the same level it would. I think Candace obviously would have defended Wendy.
Definitely.
And one or two ways. It would have either gone less, it would have been less.
Or
it would have been like, Candace getting up with Wendy, maybe somebody else getting up with Mia.
I feel like she would have been able to put or keep Robin and Giselle accountable for the ways that they were cheering
this on. She would have had their eye on them. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, where she could have shut that shit down.
Which I think Mia would have taken note of.
Because they were lighting the fire under Mia's ass.
They really were. They were provoking this.
Totally.
In a way, but also in the case of like, you know, what happened in Miami and also what just went down in Salt Lake, it did feel like these were interactions that truly came out of nowhere, like that dumb fucking Prosecco pour.
Oh my God.
Which,
I know.
Like, do not come for a woman's blowout. That is so
crossing a line, baby.
That is, I honestly was so fucking, I when would she,
when
rather.
She went, when she went back up to that room and like pointed a patch in her hair to Lisa Barlow and was like, I'll just blow dry it right here. And it's like, oh, that was sad.
And Jen being like, you have 3 hours to get ready, you'll be fine. Which, like, ma'am, not everybody can. I can't blow dry my hair. If I got my hair blown out and something happened to it, I'm fucked. I could have all the time in the day. Nothing. There's not enough time to teach me how to do my hair.
I will say the difference for me in those two is that, like, okay, Angie K. Yeah, Angie K.
Oh my God,
Angie K. And Jen Angies. Is the kind of frivolous little feud they needed on Salt Lake to lighten the fucking mood. So like, while the Prosecco pour was like so fucking lame and like performative, ultimately what resulted from it, I'm into. Which is Andy K waking up, Angie K waking up and like kind of showing her worth on the show and like putting in a good performance, I thought, in this week's episode.
Yeah.
I was loving it. And if it took a phony little Prosecco pour to kickstart that for her, I'm down.
I also think in both cases, you know, the hallmark of a trip is someone getting permission to own the idea that they are the host.
For sure.
And people running with that power. I mean,
happening on both shows right now.
It is. And I'm kind of into it because there's something that like Michelle Obama said, which is a perfect comparison, when in talking, I think, about the presidency, that it doesn't change a person. It reveals them. Mm. And there is that kind of
that drunk with power.
Drunk
like,
with power who really reaction are you? Of how am I going to use this role, which is honestly a little bit make believe. It's a little
pretend.
They're not
actually hosting the trip. They maybe picked out like one or two things.
Maybe. Right. And they're probably not paying for it.
Yeah.
And if they are, I'm sure there's some sort of budget. And like, I think in the case of like Bethany's Mexico trip, she went.
Totally. I think that's a different situation probably.
But in most cases, it's a production funded trip. And there's usually a theme, you know, like I'm hosting because I'm, you know, going to Italy to look for patterns.
But it's like, Karen thinks it's her birthday trip. But then like, there's other reasons given for this trip too.
Nope.
You know, I mean, like you said, it shows who the person is. Jen's out here like kind of drunk with power and like trying to take back the baton or the karaoke mic, wherever she wants to take back. And Angie K is just like, okay, here's everybody's rooms, and like being pretty like, I don't know.
Did you listen, I'm not necessarily a member of the Shaw Squad. In fact, I am absolutely, most assuredly
Thank
not.
God. I would leave this club.
Can you imagine? You would be like, throw down the microphone, walk out. We'd have a little to be continued. It would be a very fabulous listen. In the universe moment. I can't wait for my first walk off. But there was a grand dame style that Angie K was using in the like, here are the rooms. I am, you know, I am the doyen
she
of
got
this
them the
kind
house,
of mission.
Though.
She got the house in terms of like, I guess she like recommended it. And it's a fabulous house.
It is a fabulous
Potomac
house.
Potomac deserves that house.
Yeah, for
Salt
sure.
Salt Lake City should have the Potomac house. Potomac should actually have the San Diego house. They deserve
I mean,
it.
If we wanted to zoom out a little bit, the trip situation overall across the franchise is a little bit bleak right now. Like,
what do you mean? All bad trips?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're not getting good places. The houses are a little bit eh.
Wait a second. Beverly Hills, was that just Aspen? Where else did they go?
They went to Mexico, which is so close for them. Didn't they go to Mexico?
Wasn't that the season before?
No, that was no. Diana got her own hotel room.
Okay.
Yes.
I forget.
I don't know. I'm just sort
but
of like.
But Aspen's like not.
But I want to go. I want to go like when Atlanta went to Tokyo or Spain and like I need
South
that. I need
France.
That back. So I know that in Salt Lake we're there because Jen can't go out of the country. But
I mean, I have to say, when they said San Diego, I was like, "How's that going to work out?" But honestly, the house is fabulous.
No, and honestly, this trip is already promising to me.
Yeah.
Thank you to Queen Angie K. I promise. I'm not actually Angie Stan, but I just really was impressed by her performance on this past episode.
I find her annoying.
I don't like her necessarily, but it was.
But we don't need to like
her. She was plugged in a way that was completely unexpected for me. Like, she went in on Miss Shaw.
She did. I also found it interesting to watch her process how she was going to seek revenge in real time. And she was like, okay, well, there was this thing that happened 3 months ago, so I guess I'm just going to dip back into that, which I thought was a choice. And it's seemingly obvious that that would be the one to pick. But I also wonder, like, what's the difference between hosting a party and providing a space?
I mean, I actually do kind of believe her that like Jen probably owes some of the money for the party. Like, I think that Angie's saying she's gonna host the party. She said she's gonna open her house, not her wallet. She never said she was gonna pay for everything, allegedly.
If she didn't think she was gonna pay for everything, I would
I'm
think
saying
she would...
didn't say. She didn't say she was going to pay for everything.
I think there is, from the world of event production,
okay,
having
all right.
produced
I'm bowing
small,
down.
No, but like having produced events where it's like at so-and-so bajillionaire's house where it'll be a small salon style private fundraiser for whatever, there are varying degrees of how a person can quote unquote host. There can be the, I'm just covering everything and this is how it's going to work. There can be the, I am providing the space, you bring in the vendors, I'm not doing any of the work. There can be the, there are vendors who are allowed in my house because I've done events at literal billionaires' houses where it's like, here are the approved people who know what I like, but we're not necessarily covering the cost. Like, there are a lot of different options here when it comes to quote unquote hosting that will always cost the host money at the end of the day. It's always going to be a substantial.
You're right.
But with Angie, I'm like, first off, you cannot blame this woman for you cleaning up for the following 3 days.
No,
that's
definitely
literally
not
a part of this. And also, if you wanted her to pick up the check, you have to send it to her. I'm not getting the sense here that you were asking her approval or sign off for the the invoices and proposals that you were getting from caterers, from everything else. And also, if it happened 3 months ago, you need to send her the fucking bills.
No, I agree. Yeah, you're right.
She's going to send you a blank check.
You've convinced me, but I also think that like, it's not a bad move for her to pick that
as her
issue.
Oh my
and
God,
then,
I
and then it ties
it.
Back into the, her little crimes that she's admitted to.
Her little crimes.
Her literal crimes, sorry. Not her little crimes. Her big crimes that she has literally admitted to. Like,
oh my God, I heard that as little and I was like, oh, the shade, the sarcasm
no.
is popping out.
No, but like that puts her on the right side of history, honestly. And like it makes the issue more substantial in terms of like, okay, she's known for scamming people out of money or taking people's money.
There's that too.
Right. So it's like, okay, we're laddering it up. Too. Her little crimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. She clocked in. I think that she had that moment with Lisa Barlow upstairs where she was overreacting to having Prosecco poured on her. She got it out of her system. Lisa kind of talked her off the ledge. And then she clearly had a moment in her bedroom where she was like, okay, no, I need to like turn this shit around if I want to like, I need to solidify my spot right now. This is my moment. Gets on that sprinter van and like, it's game on.
Conversely, Jen Shah decided for literally no actual reason to do a Prosecco pour on one side of her head. Then realized, you know what? I might actually get into a small amount of trouble for this. So she decided to do it for herself.
Right.
If I had been Angie K in that situation, my friend had ruined my blowout and honestly humiliated me, which I think is what she was more upset about. Yeah. And they said it was my fault because I was taking it too far, which is what insane. Jen Shah was trying to say. I didn't mean to humiliate you.
You can't take a joke.
You can't take a joke. Babe. We're friends for 20 years. And it's like, ma'am, if you are friends with this person for 20 years, you start the conversation by saying, like, I know that you're upset. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she had to play the, because the dynamic of the situation is that Angie's new to the show and is kind of, you know, a fish out of water.
Yeah.
And it embarrassed her. You're right. It's more about the embarrassment of it, honestly. And like, you're not up to par with me in terms of like being in this situation in front of the cameras, et cetera.
I also, it does make me kind of think, I know that Merriam-Webster chose gaslighting as the word of the year, which is like, it just gives me an excuse to look at the definition again, because I know it has been overused and I am quite positive I have absolutely used it incorrectly.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, like, what's Merriam-Webster's definition of housewives friendship? Because how do you know what is going too far when a part of the understanding of housewives in and outside the idea of like performative friendship is that you are going to fight with this person and you need to communicate that there are high stakes?
Right. I think both in this situation and in the Mia situation, they're both drink pours that came out of nowhere.
Yes.
That were like kind of just the actions and moments that led up to those pours, like, just did not call for that action. So like, if Angie K and Jen had gotten into it at dinner that night and then Jen decided to pour a drink on her, I'd probably support it more.
Yeah.
I would have liked the moment more. But it was like they were literally talking about who was the host, and it was like a very like low energy situation. They were all like tired from their flight, like trying to go back to their rooms, and she just pours a drink on her. Like, yeah, I don't know. It just didn't work.
It also felt to me a little bit, there were so many comparisons that I felt with like other Housewives seasons. And I think a little bit about the way that Heather Gay guided Dana by saying like, don't fuck with Jen. Like, it's not going to work out in your favor and you don't come for the host. And it gives me a little Sonia Morgan talking to someone, maybe Heather, about Ramona, where she's like, don't fuck. Oh, no.
It was Cindy Barshop about Quag.
Cindy,
right?
Wasn't it Quag Barshop about Quag,
yes.
Season 4, and being like, do not fuck with this woman. Like, it's Ramona Singer, superstar.
I know the clip you're talking about.
Right? Where there is this kind of, we know what Heather is saying, both as a, like, taking her at her word. I don't know whether or not that's deserved, but being like, trust me, you don't want that kind of heat on you. But also, she is supposed to be the star here.
Yeah.
And you know how she is in that role.
And the difference in those two situations to me is like, with Heather, a sort of a continuation of a bit like a being a deference to Jen and like just letting her walk all over her. Mm. Where with Sonia and Ramona, it wasn't necessarily that dynamic. I think it was more of like I think it's the parallel is really good. But the difference is that, like, with Heather, I have to kind of roll my eyes. And I'm like, okay, we're like, trying to, like, get the heat off Jen again. Like,
right.
I'm like, come on.
Why,
like,
are you doing her this
right,
favor?
Exactly. It's like, let Dana come for her. Like this is, you don't need to, like, protect Jen in this way again. You know what I mean? Or, sorry, not Dana, the guest of a guest.
I mean, I also wonder, you know, so much of a part of that kind of situation and interaction is based on the idea that the person giving the advice knows it all.
Yeah.
Like the way that Sonia said that to Cindy was like, because I have been here, I'm a veteran at this point. I mean, like, it
She'd
had been
there
a season,
for like 2 seasons, yeah.
But fine. But like, honestly,
I mean, listen,
she made an impression.
Yeah.
So like, I get it. But the idea of like, you should listen to me because I have the right thought, it does seem applicable to Heather in that moment, who's saying, as a part of this, the underlying theme is like, you need to listen to my voice.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Which is a little bit of a power.
Yeah. So very much so. Very much so. Yeah, there's a lot of subtext in that situation that I had not picked up on right away.
How do you feel about Heather Gay these days? It's tough.
I mean, yeah, it's tough. I don't think I'm as like sour on her as a lot of people seem to be online. Mm. But I've always had an issue with like how much she cowers to Jen, like how much she lets her walk all over her. And I think that is sort of something that's probably really kind of she's been like that for kind of probably all her life, where it seems like that's kind of how she is with people. Mm-hmm. And like lets the friend kind of dominate her. And like, I hate that. And it's kind of honestly a little bit sad. I'm like, Heather, like you're better than this. Like you've gotten to a point in your life where you don't need to have somebody, a best friend who walks all over you like this, mm-hmm. and calls you things like fucking Shrek. It's so evil, honestly. And like, I just hate that I try to understand it like in like a deeper way, because mm-hmm. I'm like, why are you still acting like this? Like how has nobody gotten through to you? So it's tough for me to watch moments like that continue to happen. And she's, but, and I also, I think it, I pair her with Meredith, obviously, because I'm confused by Meredith's continued allegiance to Jen, and even more so than I am by Heather's. And like, I don't know, maybe because I'm less confused by Heather's allegiance to Jen, I'm okay. I'm more okay with her right now. And I love Meredith. I'm just kind of confused about what's going on. Like, why is she so behind Jen?
Well, the Meredith parallel is kind of interesting to me, because she has been tiptoeing away in how she talks about Jen in confessionals. Mm. But there is definitely still the sense of like, need to keep the peace, and I'm continuing to align with someone, versus the Whitney of it all, where she is definitely very, very upset about Whitney in her eyes stepping out of line, where she's like straddling completely opposing roles in her relationship with Jen versus her relationship with Whitney.
Who do you think that's about?
Heather, where it's like with Heather, Heather's very focused on like keeping Jen calm, except for these confessionals where it does feel like she's tiptoeing out of that, maybe more so than she has in seasons past. Mm-hmm. But where there's like an understanding of the inequity in the way that they consider each other friends, the way that they pay forward friendship, versus Whitney, where she just has no time for anything that feels out of sorts from how their friendship, relationship, role play has been previously.
Yeah.
Where so she explodes.
Yeah. I had this theory about the Whitney and Heather situation.
Tell me everything.
So I tweeted this, and I was just like, I feel like there's more to the story with Heather and Whitney and what's going on, that, and it pertains to being on a TV show. Mm. And that they can't, and that means they can't talk about it on the show.
Okay.
So, and Heather liked it. Heather liked that tweet. And what I meant by that was like, it was that moment where Heather storms away from the conversation at her own house, goes into the other room, rips off her mic. So she doesn't have a hot mic moment probably. And I was like, what it said to me was, they went into the season, they had Lisa and Meredith, who are deadlocked in this feud. Meredith's not ever going to kind of ever be on Lisa's side again.
Yep.
We have Jen, who is potentially going to go to jail. We lost two cast members. We have Whitney and Heather. Mm. That's what we have left. Mm-hmm. Who are supposed to be besties, cousins, whatever.
Yeah.
I think Whitney was like, well, I think Whitney's good, but she'll kind of do anything for the show. And I think Whitney saw that and was like, all right, what's going to be unexpected? I'm going to blow up my relationship with Heather. I'm going to pretend that something kind of hurt me more than it actually did. And then I'm going to make an issue with it. And I think Heather, in that moment in the conversation with Whitney at her house, was like, Whitney is basically sacrificing my relationship for the sake of the show and for the drama of the show, moving it forward, making sure it's not stagnant with Lisa and Meredith continuing to whatever, Jen, who knows what's going to happen in the future. I think that Heather kind of realized that and then stormed away, because it was like, that's when she actually got hurt, when she was like, oh fuck, my relationship that means so much to me with Whitney, she's throwing it out the window to advance the show and to continue and to make sure, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It does. It did blow my mind a little bit, which is why literally staring at you in shock.
That's my read. That's my theory about it.
Because I hear you, and I love a theory.
Because I think that Whitney's reaction to whatever she said, Heather did to her, I forget whatever she said, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, I think that Whitney doesn't, Whitney first off feels that Heather lied to her by saying, you know, whether or not I heard about the having sex with someone for like you or blowing someone for Utah Jazz tickets or whatever the fuck it was. Like if I choose not to hear it versus not hearing it, Whitney felt like Heather was lying about that conversation taking place. But I feel like.
But she apologized that for that. She said she didn't hear it. Like, can we just move on? Like, why does she? I don't think that Whitney's like insane. Like, I thought that her reaction was a little bit overblown to explain that completely.
But I feel like Whitney is reacting to the idea that Heather isn't being a particularly good friend. Like, Whitney has decided to change the framework and interaction and how they act out. And I don't mean that in a performative way, but mm-hmm. like maybe a little. Also, like, how they are friends, like the positioning of their friendship, the way that they communicate with each other, where I think Whitney sometimes in real time isn't a great communicator, but I do see her point. I feel like she's just tired of being mistreated in her eyes by Heather.
I see that, but I see that for sure. I still just, it doesn't all add up to me, basically. And I'm like, they're supposedly like literally like basically family. They've been close for so long. There's something more to it. And maybe from her side, it also has to do with the fact that she thinks that Heather is lying or not taking her side. And, but there's a element of it about that pertains to being in front of like on a show
100%
that they can't talk about. And so it's not coming across. It's coming across as like, okay, we're going in circles kind of with them on the show. And it's like, there's something else here.
That I absolutely agree with.
And so I think, from Heather's perspective, that's what I think it is.
Do you think it's possible that maybe they had had these kinds of conversations and there had been some sort of understanding about the ways it was going to be discussed on camera and then Heather pulled out?
Sure.
Where it's like, Whitney's like, I thought we were in this together. Now you're hanging me out to dry. What the fuck?
Sure. I think that's definitely possible. And I think that there's also, I would not be surprised if Whitney and Heather also like, you know, that we're in it to win it together from the get. Like, let's not go against each other, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know. And maybe they both went against that. You know? They both took back their word.
I mean, it makes me think a little bit about the Robin and Giselle of it all, because I remember Robin said, I think it was on Watch What Happens Live, like after some of the episodes directly involving Chris, when I think that there was a question posed to her of like, how is your friendship with Giselle? Because you obviously disagree with her strongly about what took place and the reaction to whatever else. And her response was something along the lines of like, we're fine. Like we can disagree with each other. It doesn't necessarily mean our friendship must end, which I thought, regardless of how you feel about their behavior this season, was an incredibly emotionally mature response.
Yes, I mean, that's how it should be.
And it should be.
And that's how the best franchises operate. That's how New York always operated. Like
Beverly Hills back in the day.
Like that's how the best franchises go.
Aspects
like,
of Jersey. They,
you can have hiccups. You can have disagreements. You don't have to see eye to eye on literally everything. Mm-hmm. You don't have to back up each other blindly to be tight, thick as thieves. Like, I love that. And that's amazing. And like, it's just like the blind allegiance whenever it's happening on any city is just not fun to watch either. It's like, okay, come on, like we're not being rational here.
I mean, I just feel like there's always an expiration point on it.
100%. And I think it's also interesting. I think that probably, I bet you Lisa Barlow thought that Meredith and her were sort of like going to be like that after the first season, and that the foundation of their friendship clearly wasn't as strong as she maybe thought it was. But yeah, I just think, and I think that like it's frustrating on Salt Lake, because I think that Salt Lake is this flame that's burning so quickly and so brightly and so quickly. Like it's they've put in some fucking work the past 2.5 seasons, but it scares me about like what the future of the show could be. And like I haven't really enjoyed this season until this past week. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's been like just a little too. I don't know. Like it's too much. Like I don't know. I can't really explain why it doesn't hit for me. Maybe it's because it's too much. It's gotten too dark and deep. And
because
like,
of the Jen stuff, you think, or because of the way these women just hate each other?
Kind of that.
Yeah.
Like it's like Meredith and Lisa like can't move on. Like I understand why Meredith won't move on, but like also like let's move on maybe because we're on show. Like the Heather and Whitney stuff is really dark to me, honestly.
Mm.
Jen, I don't really like watching her. Like it's all performance to me. Kate Casey tweeted that, actually, who also hosts a podcast. She tweeted something like, literally everything Jen has done on this entire show has been a performance, and I completely agree with that. It's been hard to watch this season. Like, I have not really enjoyed it that much. And I don't like complaining about Housewives, because I ultimately love watching them.
It's part of being
a rabble-holic. I know, but Yeah, like this is the first episode where it was like a little lighter. Mm-hmm. It was still dramatic, mm-hmm. but like we were fighting about dumping a thing on somebody's head and who paid who. Like it wasn't about right. somebody committing a crime or lying. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's I think they're burning. The flame is burning really fast with Salt Lake. And I kind of wanted to like slow down a little bit.
How do you think that the fire will go out when Jen is seemingly no longer available to film?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to go out. I think we'll change the show dramatically. I think that they will probably, I mean, they seem like they're doing this on like a lot of the franchises right now, which is like the extended pause. Mm-hmm. They definitely will need that because there's only a certain pool of women in Salt Lake City who can be cast on a show like this. Mm-hmm. They need to figure out what it can look like moving forward. I mean, who knows what the rest of the season holds, but I don't foresee Jen being on the show and like anytime after this season. And yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a future for the show. I mean, like Barlow, Meredith, Whitney, and Heather are
superstars.
All superstars. Exactly. They're all really solid housewives.
Yeah, they really are.
Like you can't really, I don't think you can really argue with that. Like they mm-hmm. have their moments up and down, but you know, in the middle there, they all average out to be really great housewives. Mm-hmm. Maybe Angie K can prove herself more throughout the season. Maybe Deanna will, I mean, she seems like she lights up into Jen at the end of the season. So maybe she'll, there's definitely possibility there. It's just sort of like they started out with such a bang that like I think they felt like they needed to continue this like really intense forward momentum. Mm-hmm. And like it doesn't need to happen that fast.
Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
I think that you are a really intuitive person in the housewife space, which makes me wonder your thought and prediction of how the reunion will go. Do you think that Jen will be invited to attend?
I don't think she'll be invited to attend.
Yeah, interesting.
Especially, especially because I'm pretty sure, because he tweeted that they're going to film it soon. So I bet you that the scheduling was around her
sentencing.
Her sentencing. Mm-hmm. And I bet you it depended on that. Mm-hmm. And if she was, whatever she was sentenced to, I think they were actually really serious about doing a one-on-one with her, mm-hmm. but depending on what happened with the sentencing. But now that it's not till January, if they didn't invite her to BravoCon, they're not going to invite her to the reunion.
They didn't invite her to BravoCon, but she still showed up.
But she didn't show up to actual BravoCon. She showed up to the hotels.
She couldn't get it. But it's so fascinating when you hear the stories that Tamara shared and that others shared.
Right. But she was in the hotel. She wasn't actually at Javits Center.
No. She wasn't. But also they actively made sure she wouldn't be. She allegedly tried to get into one of the cars and they were like, you're not welcome here.
And like I see this like thread of like comparing it to like Teresa and how Teresa's like allowed to still, and it's like Teresa defrauded the government like through her husband. Like Jen has defrauded countless elderly people and took their money. Like there's a huge difference there to me. Like I understand. And she also, so anyway, I don't see them inviting her to the reunion.
Well, it's also the difference between being a passive participant and like the person at the top of the fucking food chain here, where the federal government is like, we're coming for you last because you're our finale.
Yeah, everyone had already like been informants about her. So like, or whatever. So I don't know the legal jargon.
It's fine.
Been informants. That works. anyway, yeah, I just, it's hard because she has been like sort of the biggest, most obvious star from Salt Lake. She's never fully hit for me, to be honest. Just I've never really fully like warmed to her because it never felt genuine. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't know. I'm kind of speechless.
We'll know the decision soon, obviously, because he did just tweet about the questions, which makes me think it's going to film in the next couple weeks.
I think they're going to film before the holiday for sure. The holidays for sure.
And her sentencing isn't until, I want to say, January 6th. Mm-hmm. What a date.
Don't say that date.
What a date.
Yeah. I don't think they'll, I think, and I still think they would potentially want to do a one-on-one with her.
Yeah.
Andy and her, just to get answers. Because I think the Bravo's pissed at her. Like, she lied to everybody, obviously. So, but I don't foresee her sitting on that couch.
Do you think that they were almost depending on her going to trial? As she said for so long she wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that the way that she was doubling down and tripling down and quadrupling down on her innocence, not even just saying she was innocent, like having these like staged one-on-one scenes at her house with like different people and like whatever. That to anybody watching, that would be like, okay, she's in this till the very fucking end, maintaining her innocence and seeing what they. So the reversal is just, I think it caught literally every single person off guard.
There's also a difference between maintaining innocence and just saying things that literally don't make sense, which is probably how you can enable yourself to continue defrauding people for so long, like what Tamara said happened in that hotel where she said Jen was telling everybody, you know, she was going to get off and like not get any jail time. And this is after she pled, which is
wild.
A wild thing to say. And maybe something, a part of Jen's personality, she's convinced herself to feel it, which makes me like watching that scene where she's talking about sending her lawyers another $200,000 and this money should be going to her child's like medical school education, and then hearing her say to the whomever it was at the house in San Diego, like, oh, this room will work because I'll have glam. It's like, babe, listen, your glam for this one trip isn't $200,000, but like, are we not thinking? I don't think she thinks that she has to abide by the rules that even her lawyers would set.
And which makes me think, like, is there something we don't know that like she knows that, or is she just that delusional? Like, is there something that like...
The latter.
Right. But I'm just like, she's going to go to jail for 10 years, right? Like,
I have said for a minute that I thought it was going to be 10.
Right. So it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's wild. It's really wild to watch. And it's, you just have to wonder, like, is this the effect of like stardom? Like, is she like so, I don't know.
She was running this fraud for many years before Salt Lake, and I don't think her character had changed.
But the insistence on like, get that she's going to get away with it somehow, or not go to jail, or still be on the show, or be able, or should be able to go to like, should be able to go to BravoCon. Like, why does she think that? I just don't.
Why wouldn't she? Like, the way that she has performed and seemingly deeply felt the narcissism of it all, way preceded all of this stuff. Why would we think she would be humbled or grounded when she's still saying, I didn't do it? Like, there is a connective thread here that is consistent behavior.
It's just so wild. It's so wild. Like, if, my favorite detail from the Tamara story.
Oh my God, that Tamara story was fucking wild. Jen just like wild.
Jen just like was like, oh, you have glam here for me? She just like used her
glam.
She
walked into Tamara's room and was like, oh, is this for me? And Heather's
Heather was part of the.
Heather was.
The people that walked in with her, apparently.
What do you mean?
Didn't somebody say at that panel, like, oh, Heather, weren't you with her too? Or something like that?
Well, I mean.
She was with her, like, in the hotel hallways.
I am very confused about the Heather participation in all of this. Like, did Heather invite Jen, or did Jen invite herself and decide that they were going together and be travel buddies?
I mean, I think Jen's been spending a lot of time in New York, because that's where
she's... Yeah, that's true. Work is called for her.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know, man. Like, but Heather's face during that panel when they were all talking about it, she was not happy.
Sure she wasn't happy. I'm sure the connection of it is uncomfortable, but I also think she's thinking in her head, like,
Jen's going to be looking at how I react. Or maybe she feels like a You're part right, but of like, her, but like, her job.
Why does
is,
she still care about that? That's what I don't understand. Why does she still care about that?
Why? Yeah, it is one of those things where like, what is it? What's that fucking phrase? I'm going to fuck this up. Apologies. But like every sinner needs a saint or something.
Yeah.
Did I just make that up in my head?
Guess so.
There's like I don't know. Think about Guys and Dolls. Like there's just some sort of like, there is the idea that like part of Heather's idea of friendship is supporting Jen.
No matter what,
because she feels like this person needs a friend now more than ever, which is all fine and good if you want to feel that way, obviously hoping that you're also acknowledging the victims of this and like the ways that your friend really isn't the right person that you thought. So if you want to be friends with this person, maybe acknowledge that they are a different person according to the federal government than the person who
you
present
thought you knew.
Right, because like I would think it would be important to know a person's behavior. It's not just like a flat line of like
totally.
I have to support them. It's like, who are you supporting?
And she thinks that it's a show of bad friendship if you were to be somebody who, if you were good friends with Jen Shaw and you started to distance yourself from her. Mm-hmm. She thinks that's being a bad friend, which like at some point you got to save yourself, you know what I mean? You don't want to go down with a sinking ship. And it's like, not that Heather's going to go down with a sinking ship, but like the association isn't great. And
I mean, alliances on Housewives are important.
Of course, but she's not going to be on the show anymore.
Yeah, there's that too. I mean, that does make things, and I don't mean to be incredibly insensitive, but like, who gives a shit? Like, there is also the idea of like, she's not going to be around much anymore. So like, let's just play this out and then we'll keep it moving.
Exactly.
But then you think of the ways that friendship is viewed between, again, Heather and Whitney, mm-hmm. where there is not seemingly, maybe it's because it was realer, where it's like, this person is pissing me off, so I'm going to say that. Or maybe it's because Heather felt like she was in the power position with that friendship, and so she's like, why are you coming at me of all people? I don't know, but it's fascinating because it's very different.
It's when a real long-lasting friendship meets a show like this where you have to have alliances and they have to change up. Where does that go?
Yeah.
Which is Ellen Robin, it stays strong. With Whitney and Heather, it's not. I think they can get back to a place where they can be good friends again, especially mm-hmm. for the sake of the show. But I'm trying to think of like other long lasting friendships that came into a show like this. But I don't know. Like Marisol and Alexia, they're in it to win it together. Apparently mm-hmm. they have some sort of argument this season, but like they're on good terms now. So it's like they know how to move forward. Maybe the real friendships are the ones that can move forward. You have these big bumps, you know. I think I don't know why I'm thinking about Dallas right now. Maybe because you were lighting the Tiffany Moon candle. But Brandy and Stephanie, they were best friends for like one or two seasons, and then they had a huge falling out,
right.
and they were friends again. So it happens.
Also, that was a part. Allegedly, the reason for the fallout was because of blogs that Stephanie was contractually obligated to write or have written, whatever, for BravoTV.com, and Brandy being upset with what was a part of it, which affected their real friendship, which had existed for so many years prior to the show.
You know what? Maybe they need to bring back the blogs. Those could play such a pivotal role sometimes. And like that's what you were saying earlier about the tweets, where they need this sort of extra
the
space
comment section
to
of Bravo TV blogs or the original Twitter.
Listen, yeah. Like the blogs did that.
They really did. It was a serve. And when comments were allowed before, that they were absolutely taken away because it was.
I never lived in the comments on those.
Oh, I have never written a comment, but I fucking read the shit out of them.
That's so funny.
It was psycho because people would be like, you're the worst. You're the devil, blah, blah, blah. And someone being like, so about those lollipops? Like my favorite flavor of candy.
Oh my God.
It was nuts.
Hashtag bring back the blogs.
Hashtag bring back the blogs. It was, and I know it's like another thing that these women had to do, and they're so, and now you have after shows
on
YouTube.
So many
there's
interviews. The after shows have replaced it. Yeah,
I think the after shows have replaced it.
Do
but
you
I,
watch all the after shows?
I do. I was looking for Salt Lake Cities before we started recording this on Thursday, and I didn't see it. It hadn't gone up.
I'm bad. I like always. I kind of forget about them sometimes.
Oh, that I remember. I don't remember Watch What Happens, but I do remember the after shows.
I'm religious about Watch What Happens. Like,
I should.
That's
be, but
like
I'm not.
Honestly, maybe my favorite show on TV. Like I love it's like so it's comforting, you know.
What's your dream guest?
Oof. I love when a celebrity who really knows their shit is paired with a good housewife.
Yes.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even Heather, I think last season was all, last season was on with Lucas Gage, the guy from White Lotus. Good. And that was a great episode. Like, I don't know why that just popped into my head.
No, but that,
like,
was, it's so smart.
Yeah, that's a good example of, like, something that worked.
I have to say, very excited that friend of the show, Matt Rogers, is going to be doing an upcoming episode with Candace.
Oh, because that's an iconic pairing.
And has been, and we've talked about her on AG, like, he is a Candy stan. He is a Basset Hound. And I think that that is going to be such a good ep.
If they want the viral moment, they're going to have a duet to drive back, right?
Right.
He sings in a Las Colch all the time. Yes. He sang at their live show, I think. So I'm putting that out in the universe. I want that to happen.
Also, guys, shout out to Matt Rogers' Christmas special, which premieres on Showtime tomorrow, which will be Friday. Yesterday for you guys listening to this episode. He invited me to the taping at Joe's Pub.
You were there.
I was there. Oh my God, screaming. Fine. I cried multiple times. It was so good. And I said this to him after, and I think after on the last time he was on, but to see someone just fulfill their destiny and, like, be able, he's starring in,
it's really cool,
and a Christmas it's cool, it was just,
it's cool,
incredible.
Of Showtime to also give him that opportunity after. I love that for you, that
yeah,
show that
it just makes it, so much sense,
totally,
so much synergy.
And what's cool about, I mean, we're not talking about Bravo anymore, but, like, what's cool about that also is somebody I've listened to Las Colch for years
ever,
now, and
same.
Like, you know, Bowen had his moment earlier than him, and he didn't get SNL at the same year that Bowen got it,
yeah,
and for him to have, it's sort of, it's been a slower burn for him, but it's no less rewarding, I don't think. And it's cool to watch that happen for him.
I think for any of the Katies, for any of the readers
the
who
Katies.
Have loved and celebrated Matt
Absolutely.
Rogers as, like, his own superstar for years, it's great to see
totally.
Him, you know, because they are such, I think what works for their friendship is because they do exist in different universes and then they come together in their friendship
You're
IRL
right.
and then on Las Colch. And to see Matt killing it on his show on Showtime and now with the Christmas special.
It's
guys,
cool.
Yeah, I am a Jew telling you, no better way to celebrate and ring in fucking Hanukkah, whenever the fuck that is, than by watching Matt Rogers' Christmas special, because, I mean, my God,
it's
Hanukkah,
good.
Harry and Santa are collabing on this. They have come together and said, watch the fuck out of this special, because it's really, it is so much fun.
Yeah,
it's
I haven't
so
seen it
much
yet.
Fun. It was
so
great.
Showtime sent me some cookies with his face on it.
I didn't get a fucking cookie. Can you believe?
I have a friend who works in, like, the programming there.
Tell them to send me a box.
I know, but and there was a little card in there that was like, things to do, or it was like the holiday checklist or something, and it was like, you know, wrap the presents, whatever, fuck that Grinch, watch my special.
Showtime, if you're listening, which you're definitely not, where is my promo material for Matt Rogers?
Cloth.
Send it to the cloth. Listen, Gibson Johns, you know I die for you. You know I'm obsessed with you.
This was so fun. We kind of really got into it this time, didn't we?
We did, but I think we always do. Do we
no,
not?
No, but just this one felt good. This one felt extra good. I don't know.
Just in time for the
holidays. I'm just, like, feeling it. It's a little hot in here.
It is a little toasty. I do. I, like, close the
my
doors.
My water
in the
is gone.
Oh, my God. You can
no,
have
mine.
I
just finished it.
Okay, well, I'll have another for you.
Everyone listening is like, shut the fuck up.
No, not at all. Listen, continuing the idea of keeping the conversation going, tell the AGs where they can listen to your podcast, upcoming guests, how to follow you on social,
yes,
all that good
yes,
stuff.
Yes, so my podcast is called We Should Talk. Just search for that any podcast platform. This week was Kiki Palmer. Next week is Nicole from Miami.
Phenomenal.
We had Farrah and Alexia, which is Kyle's daughters recently,
okay.
from Bayard Beverly Hills. So we kind of, it's Bravo and non-Bravo. You can follow me at Gibsonoma, GIBSONOMA. On Twitter and Instagram, and I also have a Substack that I just launched, so find
Ooh.
That link in bio, hashtag link in bio. I needed a place that I didn't want to rely on Twitter. Twitter is scary,
I mean,
and it could be disappearing.
It's doing a little series finale
in 2 seconds,
right,
so subscribe there, and those are my plugs.
I love it. And speaking of plugs and subscribing, guys, if you're not following the Andy's Girls Patreon, supporting this little pod, keeping it going through the holiday season, and as a delightful little reward, getting exclusive bonus episodes. What are you even doing with your life? Literally three bonus episodes went up this week alone. Each of them are an hour to an hour plus. I have a little ditty about the Psych 101 around Teddy and John's Watch What Happens Live, which
Ooh.
I absolutely did watch, as well as the after show. A fascinating
Very,
journey
I agree.
That I absolutely unpacked on Patreon.
Weird vibes.
interesting, fascinating, definitely weird vibes, and Satchel Spectacular as well. As you know, Satchels of Gold are your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone, which you can message to me on Instagram, and a bonus episode with the Neighborhood Hype Girl talking about Low Country and White Lotus, and a new episode with Brands by Bravo talking about her Real Housewives of New York rewatch, Housewives Then and Now, and the future of New York, and so much more. So guys, support the AG Patreon. I'll love you forever at patreon.com/andysgirls. You can follow me on social, on Instagram exclusively at Dame Galley. And do you know what I did last night?
What?
I can't believe I did it. People have been asking me about it, and I was like, fuck, is it the holiday season? I did my holiday card, which you know is an event.
I live for the holiday
card. I have
to
pare down. My list for the card this year is going to be not so. It's always Bravo themed.
You're making that list and you're checking it twice.
I am making that list. I'm checking it twice. It's also color coded, and you will be getting my little universal ho ho ho. Enough about my Hinge profile. Please confirm your address. It's a good one this year, I have to say. There was one thing I changed.
Is. It always is.
Thank
good.
You. I my do. Favorite, it's always spicy.
My
it's
favorite spicy. Was you with Porsche and a boot.
Yeah, me with Porsche and a boot. I changed the light on it so it looked like there was like an angel spotlight over her. And then good. It was
that
like.
That was art.
I forget what it was like from me and like the Christmas angel or something. There was like a sassy little caption. She followed me after that, which I was like extremely.
Love
I was
that
like,
for you.
Oh my
Porsche
God.
Porsche for real.
Also, mazel tov to Porsche, who just got married.
And her 7 wedding dresses or whatever.
And her like 35. All of her posts on Instagram are like these gorgeous. Has there ever been a more beautiful bride? Aside from me and Chris Manzo in my head. Like, we're tied, I think.
I think so, too.
So I
future bride.
Right? I mean, someone
bring
get
that
me
rose, baby.
I know, I need to. Someone get me that wedding budget. And we'll see what happens. On that note, guys, I hope you're doing okay. Enjoy this episode. Lord knows I did. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.